Have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to 1 Thessalonians 5. Follow along as I read, beginning at verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seeking after that which is good for one another and for all people. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what you have written here, understand what you would have to say to us, to me, this morning. Our needs are as unique as we are, but we've come to hear from you. May this be much more than an educational exercise. May our hearts and our minds be adjusted by your word. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul started a section to remind the church in Thessalonica that Jesus is coming again. Now, they were concerned. Believers, loved ones, had died, but Jesus is coming again. How does all of this fit? How does all of this work? Well, Paul described what theologians refer to as the rapture and fits that in, but again, to this simple statement, this simple understanding that Jesus is coming again. Now, it has been 30, 35 years. How long are we going to have to wait? Well, the 21st century church would tell the first century church, you got a while yet. But the truth is still the same. Jesus is coming again. But because he did not come as soon as they expected, nor as soon as every generation since then thought he might, it's been easy for the church to fall into error. And Paul, in the meantime, is telling the church, for instance, last week we saw, be alert and sober. Pay attention and be motivated by self and spirit control, nothing else. Be prepared for battle. Yes, Jesus won the war. That's done. But we still have little skirmishes to fight. We still have battles to fight. And so be prepared, armed with faith, hope, and love. Faith, the only response, the only saving response to the grace of God. Hope, the anticipation that Jesus is coming again. The anticipation of moving from, you remember those fancy words we used last week? Justification, our salvation. Sanctification, that process that we're going through right now, becoming more like Christ. And glorification, which happens when we see Him. The anticipation as we move through that, knowing that Jesus is coming again. That's our hope. And then love. Love for God, love for one another. And in the process, encouraging one another. Well, in these verses, there are four more commands. Four more answers to the, well, in the meantime, what are we supposed to be doing? I told the group on Wednesday night, if the chronology that we have in the Old Testament is complete, and I don't know that it is, I don't know. But if the chronology, you know, all of those begats, if that's complete, from the time that God promised Adam a redeemer, it is approximately 3,000 years until Jesus is born. God told Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, the prophets, to believe me, a Redeemer is coming. And after 3,000 plus years, that's exactly what happened. Jesus came. When Jesus ascended unto the right hand of the Father, the angel said, and you will see him come again. You may remember a careful reading of Genesis. Eve thought her first son was that promised Redeemer. But the promise is still there. A Redeemer's coming. Jesus is coming again. Two thousand years? 3,000? Don't know. But be careful. Here, verse 12, we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you, and in the Lord give you instruction. In the meantime, while you're waiting for Jesus to return, this is where I get to take the next few minutes and tell you, honor your pastor. Probably not. Does it fit? But notice what he says. Appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you and give you instruction. That's a lot more and involves a whole lot more people than just your pastor. Those who have charge over you, those who have spiritual responsibility in this church, a board of men who are not elected by popularity, they are identified by character and have faithfully led this church. When was the last time you said thank you to one of them? When I came here and met the men then who were serving on the board, only one of whom survives today, I knew First of all, that you all were in great hands. I knew that I was in great hands. And I was absolutely convinced that this church had done wonderfully before I came and would do wonderfully after I left. Why? Because I was so wonderfully gifted? No. But because God had given you godly men to lead and direct you. Appreciate them. Teachers, we don't have Sunday school right now, but when we did, teachers who faithfully, week after week, prepared lessons for students. We have children's church this morning. Two ladies that regularly are prepared to take care of our children during this hour. Do you know who they are? Have you thanked them? We have people who just take care of the nuts and bolts of this church. Maintenance, finance. Do you know who they are? Did you notice the landscaping out front this morning? Didn't look like that last week when you came. Didn't happen magically. Three people took a morning, a little bit more than that, and just spruced things up. Heat's on this morning. Earlier this year, air conditioning was on. The pews you're sitting in, the cushions some of you are sitting on, are all clean. Do you know who does that? It's not automatic. We have lights this morning because somebody paid the bill. Did you do that? There are a lot of people I need to be thanking just to be able to do my job. Now, I should have asked, so I'm stepping out here on some thin ice, but many of you enjoyed the special this morning. Do you know who wrote that song? Do you know who laid down every track? Played every instrument in the music for that? And do you know who made sure it came on and stayed at the right volume through all of that? Like I said, I didn't check, but I believe that's a father-son combination, right? Yeah. Do you realize how blessed we are? Appreciate those who diligently labor among you. Don't just come in, be warmed and filled, and leave. Think from time to time about how this happens. And every once in a while, hunt somebody up and say thank you for what you do here. And then down here in verse 13, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Are we going to agree with? No. But we can live in harmony. We can have business meetings and disagree and then eventually make a decision. And you know, almost always, we come to a harmonious conclusion. Never once has somebody stomped out of here and not gone back to enjoy the dinner we usually have after. Not because we're all family, and sometimes we disagree, but somewhere along the line, you all learned how to disagree agreeably. We don't have to all think exactly the same way. We don't have to all come to the same conclusion. But when we need to come to a conclusion, we can. And do it in a peaceful, loving way. Because we're all a part of the same family. Now, are there problems? Yes. Verse 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Remember that fancy word right in the middle, sanctification? We are all a work in progress. None of us is in exactly the same place. Some of us can't remember when we first heard or thought in terms of Jesus as being the Son of God. We were fortunate enough to grow up in a family where we were in Sunday school and children's church and vacation Bible school and all of those things early, where mom and dad taught us those things. And we can't remember when we first learned of Jesus. Oh, we remember that time when we recognized him as Savior and Lord. But we can't remember not believing in Jesus. And then there are others of us who maybe even though we heard it in the background, it's been relatively recently that we've realized who God is, who Jesus is, who I am, and what he did for me. So we're all in the same process. If we are here this morning in Christ, we're all in the same process, but we're all in different places. And so we need to be patient with everyone. None of us is where we were. None of us is where we will be. We should be able to look around at us or look around at one another and say, you know, I remember that. I remember being there. I remember being in that place. And then looking at somebody else and saying, I can't wait till I get there. Till I get that comfortable with this or that. It's in the future. It's coming. It's a process. We are all a work in progress. He's still working on me. Good old Doug Oldham tune. Why? Well, from time to time, we're going to have to admonish the unruly. There are times when things happen. People do things they shouldn't do. And we need to learn how to, in a very patient, loving manner, come up alongside and say, hey guy, you need to rethink this. This is not what you want to do. This is not where you want to go. And correct course. We're going to have to come alongside and encourage the faint-hearted. God will take us through experiences that are challenging and difficult, where we're not sure we have the faith to trust and to really believe. And somebody needs to come alongside us and say, yes, you can do this. It's all right. And help the weak. Because again, we were there one time. Let me help carry the water this time. And when you get a little stronger, you'll find yourself in the place where you can help someone else. Because we're all to be patient with everyone. And then finally here in verse 15, see to it that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. Good for evil, right for wrong. Remember Jesus said, do unto others what others do to you. No, that's not what he said. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Be careful how you respond to being wronged. Because Jesus also reminded his disciples that they needed to learn to love the unlovely. Remember, he told them that the Gentiles, they're great at treating the lovely well. They're great at inviting folks over who can invite them over. Jesus said, you guys need to start learning how to love the unlovely. You need to learn how to reach out to those who have absolutely nothing for you because you have everything for them. And who is this involving? Well, he says for one another, so that means you and me, that's us. And then for all people, well, that's unbelievers alike. So for one another. Oh, but Pastor, we never wrong one another. Well, yeah, you do. Maybe not on purpose. Maybe you just kind of say the wrong thing without thinking. It happens. But when it happens, don't strike out. Respond appropriately, and you'll probably get an apology from anybody who's paying attention. And then for all people, unbelievers. Remember, Jesus said that loving one another, loving others, is supposed to be a hallmark characteristic of us. Appreciate those who serve you. And for some of us, that's going to mean finding out who that is. Live in peace, harmony. Doesn't mean you have to agree with everybody on everything. But live in peace. Be patient. Because whatever he did to you, you've done to somebody else. I can almost guarantee it. And when you did, if somebody reached out to you and said, you didn't really mean to do that, did you? Let's rethink this. That was a lot better than somebody smacking you. Be patient and look for the good. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to challenge and encourage us. Again, Father, I thank you for the examples that I have seen through the years here of each of these characteristics. You may look to your son today and say, go get your church. It may be many years before you do that. We don't know. But in the meantime, we have a responsibility to you and to one another to live out this process of becoming more and more like your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And Paul has helped us to see how to do that, to understand how to do that. He's given us a bit of a checklist here of things we can be working on. Thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.